Yes, today's daf is Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. For two wide lines down, the Gemara says, Rabbi Broka Choza, he came from a place called Choza, have a shchiach b'shuka de Bei Lefet. He oftentimes was found in the marketplace of a city called Bei Lefet. And have a shchiach Eliyahu Gabe, and Eliyahu oftentimes would meet him there in the shuk. No one knows Eliyahu Navi though. So Amar Lei, Ika Bahai Shuka Bar Alma Dasi, is anybody in the marketplace currently who is going to get Olam Haba? Very strange question. First of all, we have the concept of Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba. So as long as there's a Yid there, so they're certainly going to get Olam Haba. So the way the Chorim explains is as follows. They say there's some people, some members of Klai Yisrael who get Olam Haba only after they die, and they get the Tikkun Chabata, Chibur Karka, and all the Gehenim. Then they're going to get Olam Haba. His question was, is there anybody here who's going to be able to circumvent, who's going to go right to Olam Haba after dying? They don't need the Misa, they don't need Chibra Karka, they don't need Gehenim. Is there anybody here who's on such a level? That's how the Achron explained what his question was. Others asked the question, why do you really care? Did he want to marry one of their daughters or something? What was he asking these types of questions for? So I'm not sure exactly what the answer is, but they want to know, why did he want to know? So Gemara says, Amar Lei, nobody here currently in the Shuk is Zochet Olam Haba. Adahachi v'hachi, some time passed, he and Eliyahu, I guess, were talking and learning. Chazalahu gavr dehavasayim misani uchma. There was an individual who was walking by who was wearing black shoes. Lo rami chuta detchelasa beglima. He wasn't wearing tzitzis on his garment. Amar Lei, hai bar al madasi. Says Eliyahu, Navi, this person is subject to Olam Haba. So Rod Basrei, the broker ran after him very, very quickly. Wanted to know, Amalei, my uvdecha, what do you do? Why are you zochet Olam Haba? Amalei, zilha inna, go to...
Eliyahu Navi told him that these guys will be Olam
Haba? Yeah. So he chased him down. So Amalei, zilha inna, the guy says, I can't go, leave now. V'tzolamachar, come back tomorrow, then I'll tell you. Lamachar, the next day, so he goes back, same place, same guy. Amalei, my uvdecha, so what exactly do you do? Amalei, zandukna ana. I am a warden in the jail.
Yeah.
So, and I, when I put people in jail, I have the men separately and the women separately. I place my bed between the men and the women as a mechitza. So no Yisurim take place. When I see a Jewish girl, that the Nachim want to, they like her. I'm Moser Nefesh in order to prevent her from being violated by these Nachim. Yom Echad, one day, Havas Na'ara Murasa. There was a woman who was engaged ready to send to another man, which is a much worse affair than simply a woman who is single. So, Gavan, the Yavne Big Nachim Inayu, the Nachim were looking at her. Shaklinu Dudanu Duchamra, I took the sediment of the wine, the bottom of the red of the wine, the Shadalai Bishifula, and threw it in the bottom of her skirt. Vamri Distanahi, and she's in Nida, stay away from her. And that kept them away. Those are among the wonderful chasadim that he would do. So Amalei, so my time less the chachut of Ramsu Misana Uchmi. So why are you not wearing tzitzis and why are you wearing black shoes? Apparently, these are the shoes that the goyim would wear. So Amalei, I only nivnafki b'nei nachim. I'm always going in and out between among the nachim. Kihech delalidi yehuda ana. So they don't know I'm Jewish. So why do I do this? Why do I work among the goyim? Kihava gazri gzirta. When they're mailed to make a gzera against the Yidden, I tell the Chachamim, "Ubarachme imvatle the gzera." So the Chacham should daven the imvatle the gzera.
It's double agent.
What?
It's
exactly right. This is the source. That now, not quite the source, but you could do violate some isurim when you're being when you're a double agent when you're not. When,
didn't violate an
isur. Well, there's an isur of lo sechu b'chukosayim. You can't wear chukas agoyim is usur. You can't wear their clothing. He wore the clothing and shoes. So in fact, the Torah says, from here you see it's mutter to wear non-Jewish clothing. You're allowed to dress like a non-Jew. That's what he says.
You have a good reason.
So basically, what do you mean? That's chukas agoyim. You can't dress like a goyim. There has to be a good reason. What's the good reason? Latzalas klayso. He was doing it to save klayso. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Number two, Beis Yosef gives a second answer. He says another reason why is the iser of the chukosayim los aleichu was never explained when does it apply. The Chacham were given the ability when to apply it, when not to apply it. So they decided, when there's a need, you don't need to follow it. When there is no need, then you have to follow the Isser. You can't wear the non-Jewish clothing. And then furthermore, the Bach, who's the parish from the Torah, says, the Isser only applies when you're trying to be like the Goyim. But when here you're not trying to be like the Goyim, you're doing it for other reasons, So that's mutter. So all pretty similar answers, but that's it's mutter. But we see some isurim are mutter to be done when, pretending to be an Arab and living in the Arab villages as to know what's going on, these certain things are permitted. The fact is there, a number of shalas come in, Rav Asher Weiss is considered like the official, you know Rav Asher Weiss? His sefer, Minchas Asher, a beautiful sefer al Torah. So he is the official posek for the Shin Bet. And when they have shilas like this, and Yom Kippur, what should I daven? You know, I can't have a sitter where I am in the Arab village. He has to answer these shilas, daven whatever you know, all types of interesting shilas.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. They really, some of them are from, and you know, have to do the best they can. So, especially Yom Kippur, is serious to all Jews. So, now in times of war, and if you consider now being the times of war, which most probably it is, even more Yisurim are permitted to be violated. The Gemara says if you're fighting in a battle, you're allowed to have treif and nevela and stuff to eat, if that's what's ever available to you. Mm-hmm. So these people might have to eat that type of food, whatever they have.
For sure.
So,
I don't even go back to the Yisurim, buy kosher food, and go back to the village.
Right. Won't work out so well. Now, halal is not too different than shchita, but still, it's different. It's not real shchita. The Arabs eat our meat, but we don't eat their meat.
Yeah.
Okay. So either way, so he was a spy. So that's what he basically did. So then he had to dress like a non-Jew. So then the Gemara says, "My time kiyamin al-cha'ana, why, when I said to you yesterday, my avudcha, I asked what you were doing, but Marti Li, you said to me, zil ha'ino v'salamachar, go today and come back tomorrow. Why didn't you answer me yesterday? Samarlay, b'hait shait, in that very moment, gazi gzerasa, there was a gzera that took place, that the guy wanted to make and decree. But Mina Beresha, I said first, let me go Ezel the Eshmal Rabban. Let me let the Rabbanon know. And Dilibai Rachme Elai Demilsa, and they should daven that the Gzera be Oker. Okay, so that's the first. This is a very, very well known Maisa in the story. The next one's even a more famous story. The Hachi, after that whole conversation took place, also Hanuch Trey Asi, two other people came to this to marketplace. Amulei, Eliyahu Navi says, Hanech Nami B'nei Alma Dasin Ninu. These two are also people who are going to be Zoche to Olam Haba. So, Azul Gavayu, he went over to them. Amulei, Mai Avidaihu, what do you guys do? Amulei, Inish Viducha Anu. We're like jesters. We like to make people laugh. Anu Midbechinan Atsivi, people who are sad, we cheer them up. We tell them the joke. We do a funny trick. Inami, alternatively, ki chazinam betray the Israel Tigra. We see two people who are fighting, behadaya with each other, tachinam and vavdinam le shalom. We try to distract them and to cause shalom. So that's what they're zochet to. So the Achron want to know, just a jester, a clown, a juggler, nice things, but zochet olam haba for that? Not that it's anything bad, but why is that a person who's zochet olam haba? So the few answers given here as well. The Maharsha writes, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav, tells us that when a person is mitzta'ar, when a person is pained, when a person is depressed, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Kalani Miroshi, get rid of this person, you're not very happy, you're not very pleased with such a person. When a person is very happy, and it certainly causes other people to be happy, Kadosh Baruch Hu then becomes happy, and then he zocha olam haba. So Maharsha says, yes, Simcha Sanefesh is a very high level. It's not a pasha thing to become Simcha. A lot of tzaros we have in this world, so Simcha is a very high level. The Gaonim were not comfortable with that answer. The Gaonim said, no, the Simcha we're talking about here is Simcha Satorah. The Pasuk says, B'kutei Hashem Yishar Mishamchei Lev. That's the Simcha. That's Simcha in terms of Talmud Torah. And other Acharim give this answer as well.
But this is a basic mitzvah. Mitzvah Gedolah Yad B'Simcha.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What's basic?
Right. So I get that's the Maharsha. Maharsha says, Mitzvah Gedolah Yad B'Simcha. That's what it is. And the Gaonim felt, yeah, it's important to be Simcha. You can't, you're not happy.
Yeah, it's not only Simcha. There's a big difference between Simcha and Leitzanut. And to be a clown.
Right.
Just to be a clown. That's not Simcha.
Right.
Stupidity.
Right. Well, right. Well, if it's to get somebody else to be happy,
yes,
so then.
But I guess for the good, for the right reason.
Right.
To be Simcha and the right reason again. Right.
Not to just sit in a circus just to like waste 3 hours and just watch people do weird things. It's mamash to be simcha, and hopefully to get you to learn, because the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, I think Rav or Abai, one of them, would always open up their shir with a joke.
Rava
was. Open up with a joke, b'tichusa all the time, because it makes a person relaxed and able to be makabel of the Torah. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back, quoting from the Mishnah, Al Elu Masrim Mechal Makom. The Mishnah told us on the number of things that everybody all places has to start blowing the shofar. And among these things was shidafon and yirakon, arbe, chasil, locust, all types of diseases that can really travel quickly from one place to the next. So Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanon al elu masrin b'chol makom. On the following things, you blow shofars every single place. Al hashidafon, al hiyirakon. So shidafon, we said, was what? When a wind came along and started uprooting tevua. Yirakon was some type of disease that killed the tevua. Al ha'arbe v'chasil, these are locusts. Al chayra, and a wild animal that is seen. Rabbi Kiva Omer, al hashidafon, al hiyirakon b'chol shuv. Even on this, you just see one, a tiny bit, one locust. Sorry, not locust. If it was shidafon, if a wind comes in just a small amount, rips up a small amount of grain, or you see a little bit of this disease, even just a small amount, that is warrants us to start blowing the shofar. When it comes to arbi v'chasil, these types of locusts, afilo nira be'eretz Yisrael el knaf echad. Even if you don't even see one full one, you see a wing of a locust, that's enough for a reason to be masriin alein. That causes us to start blowing the shofar right away.
Dangerous.
Very dangerous. V'achaya, Gemara Mishnah told us that a chaya ra, you blow the shofar as well if you see a wild animal. So Tanur Rabbanan Chayra Shamru, this wild animal that we speak of, Bizman Shi Mishulechas Masrinala, Ein Mishulechas Ein Masrinala. When it's Mishulechas, when it's sent, look at Rashi, Rashi Mishulechas Min Hashemayim. When it's sent as a messenger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have to do truth right away. But if it's not, then you don't have to do it right away. So Gemara's.
Tehillim Mishpatecha Yom Ki Hakol Avadecha. When you have the Gzardin, everything is your slaves to deliver Gzardin.
So then, okay. So if you know if it's a slave, if it's a messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you have to do.
If it's a Chaya, or if the card that hits you, if the guy that makes you upset, everything is slaves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So how do you explain that with this Gemara here?
It's true too.
No, Gemara says Mishulech, only if it's Mishulech, Mishmaim. If it's Einu Mishulech, it's not from Mishmaim. But you're saying everything's from Mishmaim.
Everything from Mishmaim.
And everything is, you're right. But how do you explain the Gemara here? If it's a Chai Ra, that's Einu Mishulech.
Because if you see it's unnatural in its unnatural territory, obviously it was sent, and it's the slave of the Kadosh Baruch Hu to deliver the Gzardin. Pshuto.
Okay, so then how do you know? Einu Mishulech, Einu Mishulech. How do you know if it's sent or it's not sent? How do you know if it's something unnatural or it's natural? So Mar is going to tell us a few ways to know. Nearest Be'ir, if you see in the city, well, Mishalechas, you don't see wolves in the city. Bisadeh, Eino Mishalechas, that's where the normal habitat is in the field. Bayom, during the daytime, Mishalechas, you don't see a lot of these rabid animals during the day. If it's during the daytime, that means it's rabid, it's wild. Something's wrong with it. Balayla, Eino Mishalechas, at nighttime, that comes out at nighttime, it's not dangerous. Rasa Shnei Bnei Adam, Rasa Achrem, if they see two people, and it still chases the two people, you know it's Mishalechas. Because one animal versus two humans normally won't chase down two humans. Nechmas Mipneim, if it hides out from them, Einu Mishalechas, that's not considered sent. That's normal. Tarfer Shnei Bnei Adam, if it kills two people, V'ochla Echamim, it only eats one of them but not the other. Mishalechas, that's considered sent from Shemaim. Ochla Shneim, if it eats both of them, Einu Mishalechas, that's considered normal. That's what the animals do. Also Lagag, not Latino, could climb to a roof and took a child, Marisa, from its crib, that's Mishalechas, that's not normal. Okay, so that's the Brisa. The Gemara says there's a Kasha here. Hagufa Kasha. Amris, we said in the beginning of this Brisa, Nirasa Be'ir, if it's seen in the city, it's considered Mishalechas, it's a wild Loshna Bayom, Loshna Belaila, regardless if you saw it during the daytime or nighttime. If you see it in Woodmere, a wolf, that's considered not normal. But then we said, Hada Amris, Biyom, Mishalechas, Belaila, Mishalechas. But if you say it during the daytime, it's considered crazy, but at nighttime, it's not. So we see nighttime the city is shown, it shouldn't be crazy.
Lokasha.
Hachi Kamar. Nirasa Be'ir, if you see it in the city, Bayom, and during the daytime, that's considered Mishalechas. But if you see Be'ir Belaila, the city at nighttime, that's not Mishainu Mishalechas. That's not a problem. Inami Besade Afil Bayom, or if you see it during the daytime in the field, that too is Eino Mishalechas. It's only considered Mishalechas if it's Be'ir Ubayom. Then the Gemara quotes from the Brisa above, Rasa Shnei Bnei Adam. It sees two people, this animal sees two individuals, v'rotz achrein, and chases after both of them, Mishalechas, that's considered Mishalechas. Ha'omedes, but let's say it stands still, it just stares you down at the humans. That's Eino Mishalechas. However, Hadramis then says, Nichbeis, if it hides out, the animal sees you and runs away and hides out, Bifneim, Eino Mishalechas, that's considered not sent. But Ha'omedes, but it stares, stands and stares you down, that's considered Mishalechas. The question is, if it's omedes, if it just stands still and freezes, is that mishalachas, or is it ain't a mishalachas? The answer is the Gemara, lo kasher. Depends. If it's a field that's adjacent to a swampy area, so then that's considered, if it stands still, that's not considered mishalachas. That's its normal habitat. That's not next to an agam. Rather, it's next to a city or something, and it stands still. That is considered mishalachas.
Can you imagine to meet a lion?
Right. There used to be, a number of years ago, they had some coyotes in Central Park.
In this city?
Somehow they came down from the country.
They are eating human coyotes.
No, they're...
Small fox, no?
It's a big... Coyotes are bigger than... It's like, you know, a size, like a dog, like a wild dog.
It's like a disgusting animal.
Yeah?
Yeah,
it's like a wild dog. It's smaller than a wolf, I think, but bigger than a... Anyway, so, yeah, I'm thinking, if they come close, I don't think they cause any damage, but if you come close to them, they could, it came down to the city. One could challenge whether or not the Central Park is considered the city. That's already,
Because it's surrounded by the city.
Yeah, but every park is. In fact, that it was in the park, though, the park itself.
How do you go to the park?
Right, so, but once you see in the park, though, I'm not sure how it got there. I was running through the streets of the city. Pretty wild. Anyways. So then the Gemara says, Tarfa Shnei Bnei Adam, if this wild animal ends up killing two people, V'ochle Echam Ehem, and only eats one of them, that too is a simin, it's considered Mishalech, it's considered sent Mishamayim, it's unnatural. However, Shneim, if it kills both of these individuals, then the lacha is Eino Mishalechas, that's not considered sent from Shemaim, that's considered normal. V'ha'amers afilu ratzaza. But then we say, even if it runs after it alone, regardless of whether it ate the animal, the people, or not, we say alone, if it simply chases down two people, regardless of what happens afterwards, that is enough of a simen that's considered Mishalechas. Says the Gemara, M'rapapa kitan ha'hi ba'agma. That was talking about the swamp. So if it's in a swampy area and it chases someone down, that's not considered mishalachas because that's its normal habitat. Only if it kills one person. If it's outside the swamp and it starts running after a person, that's already considered unnatural. Okay, Vaitin, the Gemara says now, Gufa, we said above, also lagag, but not latinok me'arisa, if this animal goes to the roof, takes a child out of the crib, mishalachas. That's considered mishalachas. Pshita, it's pretty obvious. What animal climbs to the roof of a house? Mrapapa, kikuchi, ditsaidi. Now, a specific case here, Rashi says, you see the three last lines? The last word in the line is kikucha. He says, ditsaidi, koch katan, shel tsayodin, sheyach feru lmarav haofos, some type of trap that was used to catch birds. Afagav delab benin kavuhu, lahava kyushiv, have mishalachas. So, even though it's not a set binyan, it's not considered a yishuv, it's considered mishalechas. What's the Gemara saying here?
I mean, they had traps, and because of the trap, you might think that Chayara will come to eat the birds. But then they're taking out the baby. So it's not mishalechet, because of the nature of the...
On top of the roof, there's also other traps with food in it.
Yes.
The birds would come and get trapped. This animal may have came to get the food that was in the trap. Instead, pick up the baby, so maybe that's not considered mishalachas. Kamash Milan is considered mishalachas. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Al HaCherev. Now, if a sword passes through the city, that also is deserving of blowing the shofar and fasting. Tan Rabbanan, Cherev Shamru, the sword that we speak of, Einon Tzarech Lomar Cherev Shein Shalom. Needless to say, if it's not a sword of not for peace, meaning if it's a sword of fighting, as someone's coming to attack your city, certainly you should fast and blow the shofar. Even if it's an army passing through with a sword and they're coming for peace, they're not coming to attack, they're just passing through your city. Because that too warrants us to fast, because there is no greater sword of shalom than that of Paronacha. Even though Paro wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael peacefully, Yoshia HaMelech didn't take him seriously as peaceful. There's no such thing as a Cherev Shalom. And he got in trouble. He actually ended up dying because of what happened. What happened to Yoshia HaMelech? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Vayishach Elav Malachim. Paro sent over to Yoshia HaMelech messengers, saying, Lamor, Malib Alach Melech Yehuda, what's between me and you? Lo lecha ata hayom kiel beisim lechamti. I'm not interested in fighting with you. Ve'lohim amar lev haleni. Elohim is lashon of odazara, lashon of God. Chadalacha me'lohim asheim mival yashchisecha. Fear from my God of odazara. It's with me, and I won't destroy you. Let's just have peace. Let me pass through.
I don't understand this week's parasha.
This week's parasha.
Yeah. Bilam. Who was the melech? Bilam or Balak?
Balak.
Balak. So Balak, he asked from Bilam to curse them. He knew what Israel did. Why just ask them to go peaceful? Like Israel asked from different other nations right before, and they didn't agree.
Anti-Semites.
What?
Anti-Semites.
But he saw that the curse didn't even work. Then we destroyed him anyway.
He didn't know that. He thought he would be able to do it.
No, but he said that he didn't. He wasn't successful.
Yeah, but before that, he thought he would be. He thought he would be successful. They hated Jews. Okay, so the Paro sent over to Yoshua Melech, I want to pass through Eretz Israel, because I want to, I have a fight with Melech Asher on the other side of Eretz Israel. I need to get through to attack them.
That's not nice.
Right. So, what does it mean, Elohim Asher Imi? What does Paro mean when he says, my God that's with me? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, my Rav, Zo Avodah Zarah. This was his Avodah Zarah that he was carrying with him. So says Yoshiahu Amar, Hoil v'kabatach b'Avodah Zarah. Since you're trusting in Avodah Zarah, Yachin Olai, I have the ability to wipe you out. You're nothing. If you were trusting in Hashem, okay, then I'd let you pass through. You're trusting in Avodah Zarah, you have a certain weakness to you, I'm going to destroy you. I will not let you pass through. Now, then the pasuk says, Vayoru hayorim l'melech Yoshiahu, and they shot arrows at Yoshiahu Melech. Vayomer Melech, the king says, Lavodav, to his servants, Havirunu ki hechilesi mod. Remove me from my horse because I am sick. My ki hechilesi mod. What does it mean? I'm very, very sick. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, milami to teach us she'asu kol gufo ki chivvara. They made his body into a sieve with all these holes, a hole, all these holes in him. He was, and that's how he died. So Amar.
So who won?
Paro won. Passed there to Israel. They defeated Eretz Israel. And they defeated Melech Asher afterwards. He should have let them pass through. Well, really, so what happened? So Gemara is going to explain. I'm a Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. I'm a Rabbi.
Only Yeshua died in the war.
I don't remember the rest of the war. I don't know. So I'm a Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. I'm a Rabbi Yonason. Mipnei Ma Nenash Yoshio. Why was Yoshio punished? He seemed to do something very well. You know, they were worshiping Avodah Zarah. During the times of Yoshio Melech, there's so much Talmud Torah going on. There were tzaddikim living. Why was he wrong? The reason is, Mipnei Shaya lo li'imolech b'Yirmiyahu. He should have consulted with the Yirmiyahu Navi, who lived during his time. V'lo nimlach, he didn't. My darsh, what was the drush that he made? Why did Yosheo act on his own without consulting with a Navi? V'cherev lo savor bartzechem. The bracha is that if you walk in the way, if you follow in the ways of Hashem, cherev lo savor bartzechem. No sword is going to pass through your land. And during the times of Yeshua, as I just said, it was a great time. So he thought, no sword is going to pass through. That's the Haftach of Hashem. My cher was cher mean? Ilema l'cher v'shein ha'shel shalom. If it means a cher that's not of peace, meaning a cher of war. Haksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, v'nasati shalom barat, I'm going to place shalom. So it already tells you that there's going to be shalom. You don't need an additional bracha that no cher of no fighting is going to take place, because we already promised shalom. So what does it mean? Ella must be shafilu cheshel shalom. Even a sword of shalom, an army passing through peacefully, that too is part of the bracha. If we knew that, what?
An army of peace won't go through.
Right, even that won't go through. So stop. I have a haftacha from the pasuk tells me we're doing the right thing. We're walking in the ways of Hashem. So even a cherev shel shalom is not going to be passing through our nation. Who any yode? But he didn't know. Yoshiahu Melech didn't realize shein doro domi yafe. As good as his generation was, it wasn't as good as he really thought it was. They weren't Socha in the eyes of Hashem. They were good, but not that good. Kihava Nicha Nafshe, when finally Yoshua died after his injuries, Chazar Yirmiyahu Sifvaseha de Kamarachshin. Yirmiyahu saw he was murmuring something, his lips were moving. Amar, he says Yirmiyahu, Shema Chas V'Shalom Milsa de Lo Mahagna, Amar Agav Tzara, maybe saying something inappropriate, he's upset, he's angry, he's saying something he shouldn't be saying. Gachin, he leaned over. Vishamai, he heard the kamatzik alayo dina nanafshe. He's taking upon himself the acceptance of being killed. I am willing to accept this from Hashem. This is the din I'm receiving. Amar Tzadiku Hashem. So he heard that he said the following: Tzadiku Hashem, Hashem is Tzadik Kifiu Marisi, because I violated his word. I went against his word. I should have consulted with Yirmiyahu Mela, Yirmiyahu Navi. I didn't. Tzadiku Hashem. Pasuk Alaha Hishaita, Yirmiyahu started to eulogize and say as follows: Ruach Apeinu Mashiach Hashem. The wind of the Mashiach Hashem, the one who's anointed by Hashem, namely Melch Yoshiyahu. Continues the Gemara now and quotes from the Mishnah: Ma'aseh v'yardu zekeinim Yishlaim la'areim. Once a story that the elders went from Yishlaim back to the cities, and they found that there was a kimali tanur of shidafon ba'ashkelon. There was a wind that removed the grains, that it was the amount of grains that it is to fill the mouth of a tanur. So ask the Gemara, Ibailu, kimlo tanur b'tfua, is it like filling up a tanur with grains, like natural grains? O dilma kimol.
The
case is that the Zakenim once came back from Yerushalayim and they saw a strong wind come and it uprooted a certain amount of grain. They saw, oh, this is dangerous, that means it's a powerful wind, let's be gozer tainus. Now how much wind... Right, so they saw the grain, that the wind uprooted the amount of grain it takes to fill a mali tanner, to fill up a tanner. That's the amount that...
Oven.
An oven, exactly. Kumar wanted to know, what exactly was the shear? Ibailu. Kimelo tanner tevua, is it when you... Did the shear mean how much you would fill a oven up with actual grain? Odima, or did it mean how much grain it requires to make kimlo taner bapas, to fill up oven up with pas, with bread? So when you fill up an oven with grain, you stuff the whole oven with grain till it's full, and then you burn it till it dries. When you do pas, you don't fill the oven with pas, you put the pas on the side of the wall, you used to make it like that, much smaller shear. So was it the amount of grain to fill in grain in the oven, or the amount of grain needed to make bread that was placed on the sides of the walls? That was the shaila of the Gemara. A very big nafkamina. A very large shear, a very small shear. Says the Gemara, Tashma, it says, Kimlo pi tanur. So to fill the mouth of the tanur, that implies... that implies bread somehow. Because the bread sticks to the mouth of the oven, not the tevuah.
There's only bread.
Right. I'm imagining, let's say an oven like us, where the door is on the side. So how do you do a pitanur? How do you place on the I'm not exactly getting the case. Pitanur, no, that's not what it is.
The tanurim was different at the time.
Yeah, different types of tanurim, right.
Yeah. The tanurim was... It's like they're making the Iraqi pita, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
It's like a round thing with a hole in the center, so the hole is not so big.
Yeah. Right.
Then you put it in the floor. It's like
right.
Brick oven pizza.
Yeah.
But you just put it to the sides.
Right. So somehow, so right, yeah. That's what they're doing, right.
Not so loud, you know?
Okay, so I guess only bread could be al pi tanner, could be stuck on the mouth of
the
oven.
The dough, not the bread.
Exactly, the dough, right. The other thing where it says about dying tibailu, there's still a further question. They needed a further clarification here. Kikisuya de tanur, was it the amount of shear that covered the opening of the oven? Odilma kikdara de rifta de hadale lefuma de tanur. Or perhaps it simply meant to make one row of bread attached, but not to cover the entire opening of the oven. That was another shiloh. The Gemara says take it. We're not really sure exactly how much grain they saw that was uprooted from the wind. But okay, that ends that piece of Gemara. The old Gazu Tainis al Sha'achlus Avim. Mishnah told us that wolves had eaten two children and their gozer Tainis. Samar Ula, Mishnah Rabbi Shimon and Yotzadak. Maisa Uvalu Zavim Shnei Tinakos. There was once a story that two wolves had eaten two children, completely swallowed them up. Vekium Derech Beisrei. And they spit them out from the front, but from the back of themselves. They went to the bathroom and they came out full. And the story came to Chachamim. V'tiharu es habasar v'timus alzamos. In terms of dinei tuma v'tara, they said the flesh is considered tar, but the bones are considered tame. Why? What's the difference? So look at Rashi around halfway down in the Rashi. V'tiharu es habasar she'enu matame tumas meis. The flesh is not considered tumas meis. Why? Dinis akel, it became digested. V'nis batel, and became cancelled. Toch meyav,
the kigon. Not at all.
It did, but since it was in the body, enough of time to be digested.
So if the flesh was digested more so, the bones. Because so, the bones are inside the
yeah, but the bone, look, Rashi says, bones, timuas atzamos, delob misachle, bones don't get digested.
I'm sorry, actually, bones don't get digested, right. But the bones are inside the flesh, meaning there was no, I understand.
Okay, so that was the Maisa. Then the Gemara quotes,
that doesn't
yeah.
make any sense. Right.
The Gemara says, "Vayter quoting from the Mishnah, Al Masrin B'Shabbos." The Mishnah then had listed a number of cases where you could blow the shofar even on Shabbos because it was very dangerous. For example, the city was surrounded by goyim, or the river was beginning to overflow, or a boat was involved in a storm at sea. These are situations where you could blow the shofar during Shabbos. So Tanur Banan says the Gemara quotes the following brisa. The city that becomes surrounded by either goyim or by a river, which is overflowing, or there's a boat at sea which is in danger, or if someone's running away from goyim, the goyim are chasing a person down, or a gang of bandits are chasing him, or a person is overtaken by a shade. On all of these, Yachid Rashai Lasagif is asked of a tinus. A person that can take upon himself to inflict himself on a tinus to protect himself. But for these reasons we don't, we are not gozer a tinus on the tzibur. These are just individuals who could do this. Say that again?
Where are you?
Yeah, I'm right where you are.
Rabbi Yossi Omer.
A person cannot do this because people might need him. He might need to work. If he's busy fasting, he's not going to be a productive member of society. And if he's not protecting like this, look at this lowlife sitting in the corner just fasting and not doing any work for us. And if he's not doing anything with us, we're not going to be merachamin on him. So sometimes it's not always good to fast all the time because it removes you from being involved in the yeshiva olam.
But it's only if he's in such a dangerous case.
Right.
If in a dangerous case, it's not always. It's in that specific.
Okay, but that's the way people work. People go, look at this tzaddik over there fasting all day. He's not helping us out. He's not helping us. We're not going to help him.
Fasting after the ma'aseh? Or in the ma'aseh? Before the ma'aseh?
Right. After the ma'aseh.
After the ma'aseh. So you're saved.
No, I'm saying no. It must be during the Maisa. I guess during
how
the.
How can you run away from a shed and fast? And then, ah, look at this guy.
Marsha explains that the guy is like he's committing suicide. Marsha says the guy is just fasting. He's basically committing suicide. Someone commits suicide. We don't try rachm.
By fasting, he's going to suicide.
That's what the Marsha says. I hear. I certainly hear what's bothering you.
Emunah pshuta. Me'al ha-sechel.
Right?
This is it. Next.
Okay. Then the Gemara says, where are we?
Amar Yehuda Marav.
Amar Yehuda Marav. My time with the Yossi, what was his reasoning? I gave you a life to live and to enjoy, not to inflict yourself. That was the reasoning for it. It's a person saying all these tzaros on himself, that the people look down upon. Shimon HaTemani Omer Afal Dever. Shimon HaTemani felt that on Shabbos, even if Dever comes along, you could be masrin on Shabbos, and Lo Hodu L'Chacham, the Chacham didn't agree. This is what the Mishnah says. See, Bar Yehuda Gemara wants to clarify the opinion of the Chachamim. Lo hodu lo chachamim b'Shabbos haval b'chol hodu lo. Did they disagree in regards to Shabbos that you don't blow a shofar, but during the week you would blow a shofar on Dever? Lo hodu lo kal that at all. You never blow a shofar on Dever. Tashma Gemara brings a raya. Titania masrin al Dever b'Shabbos ve'en tarach lomar b'chol. Yes, not only do during Shabbos, but certainly during the chol also. Rabbi Chanan bar Pitom Tamido shir Rabbi Akiva Omer. He said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, ain masrin al Dever al kolikar. You don't blow a shofar on Dever at all, yes, not even during the week. So this is machlokas.
Like it says clearly, what you do with Shabbat, and more so in Chol. And the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva says no, and the Chachamim says no.
Yeah, big machlokas. Yeah, machlokas tanaim. They have their right to argue with each other. Two opposite extremes, though.
So,
Harry Paskin.
Yeah.
See, Harry Paskin. There's usually a note. Doesn't say here how we paskin. Sounds like we paskin that during the week you can and Shabbos you cannot. That's what it seems like from the Gemara.
Week you can, Shabbos you cannot.
That's what it sounds like.
Makes sense.
And the Gemara says, Al kaltar shelo tavo al tzibor. Now any other bad tzara that occurs to the tzibor, we blow the shofar. Except for Rov Kshamim. If a lot of rain comes, we don't start fasting and blowing shofar for too much rain. So Tanur Rabbanon, Al kol tzar shelo tavo al tzibor masirin al echutz min Rov Kshamim. Except for a lot of rain, that much we don't ask to stop. My time, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Lefish Ein Mispalin al Rov Tzitova. We have a Mesorah that we don't daven on too much good.
You don't learn in the Mishnah that on rain, on certain rain we do. Oh, there are certain rain that the Mazikim. Okay.
So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Shein Mispalin al Rov Tzitova. How do I know we don't daven on too much good? Shinemar, Heviu Eskol Maser El Beis Alter. Bring all the meiser to the storage house. My, and then the pasuk continues to say, the Gemara doesn't quote it, but the pasuk says, "Harikosi lachem bracha ad blidai." I'm going to give you bracha until it's enough. My ad blidai. Rabbi Berharav ad sheyivlu sifsechem milomer dai. Until your lips are going to be so worn out from saying dai, it's enough, we have enough bracha, okay, it's enough already. So how we bring a proof from here that we don't daven to stop Rov Tova. What's the raya here? Is there Rashi? There's no Rashi here.
What's the raya for what?
We're trying to bring a proof here that we don't ask for Rov Tova. We don't ask to stop too much good.
But Hashem says, if Hashem said that I'll give you so much bracha that you know it, it could be too much that you need. How can you ask to Hashem to stop something that he means good by? So it's referred to the Kshamim. Geshem is good, Mechaye, Matzmiach. Therefore, forgiven for Kshamim, which is good, but anything that is too much can be bad. But the source, the essence, is good. So why to ask to stop something that is good, even though it's going to hurt you? No.
But we're trying to bring a proof that you should never, you're not supposed to daven.
Yeah.
For this.
To stop.
But how do you bring that proof from this case of dai?
Ve'arukoti lachem, and I gave to him brachad blidai. If Hashem's meaning, let's do this bracha is kshamim, kshamim ad blidai. And the shamim, which will ruin your fields, eventually.
Right.
Okay, but shamim is in the right amount doesn't ruin the field, mechaya the field. So it's good. It's bracha. So even if it's too much, you don't ask to stop.
But what weren't they saying? Die says it's enough. It's enough. They were davening that should stop. Man. I'm going to give rain. I'm going to give it until you say die. Until you
Ad
say enough.
Bli die.
Uh-huh. But you say actually yavlu b'dai. We're saying it means until your lips are worn out from saying dai. Sound like they were saying enough. Kash Baruch was enough. It's enough. So we see from there that they did stop. They did ask for it to stop raining. They did ask for it to stop the bracha.
That's only metaphoric. Meaning you will never. Uh-huh. I'll give you so much.
Uh-huh.
This if you know you want.
Okay. Okay.
To stop. But that's the. I don't know what it said in English.
The mashal or something.
The mashal.
Okay. So I'm a Rami Bar Rav Yud. V'begola masinale. However, that's all in Eretz Yisrael. But in Bavel, in Chutz Laretz, which is a place that's very very full of water and rain, if too much rain comes, masinale, we do blow the shofar that should stop because that's a much greater danger in Bavel. Tani Nami Hoch, we have a brisa that says the same thing. Shana She Gishmem Rubin, a year that has a lot of rain. Anshi Mishmar Shaluchin Lanshi Maimon. Anshi Mishmar, the ones who would do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohanim, would send to the Anshi Maimed, the ones who would daven. Every single day, there are people, the Kohanim, doing the avodah. That's called Anshi Mishmar. And Anshi Maimed were people who were davening on behalf of the Tzibur. So they sent over to the Anshi Maimed, Tenuei Nechem, Ba'acheichem Shebegola. place your eyes in the people in Galus and Babel, shelo yibatem kivrem, so that their houses should not be places of burial sites. They shouldn't be flooded. So daven on their behalf that they should stop raining. So we see you can daven that it should stop raining in places outside of Eretz Yisrael. Shalu es Rabbi Elazar, but they asked Rabbi Elazar the following question. Up until what point does it rain so much that we could ask for it to stop raining? What's considered enough? Amalhem, Kadeshi Yamud Adam Bekaren Ofel. A person could stand in care of Ofel. This is a name of a particular rock, a very tall rock. Vishach Sheikh Rag Bemaim, and he could feet could kind of dangle, I guess, in the water below him. He's sitting on top of the rock and the water is so high his feet are in the water. If it gets that high, then you can start asking for it to stop raining. But doesn't the Bryce teach us otherwise? Yadav, his hands could reach it, and hands can't reach as low down as the legs. Raglav ki yadav kamina. What I meant is your hands, your legs like your hands. Kind of like the same thing, I guess. When your legs dangle in the water below you, you can also reach down for your hands also. It's pretty much the same shear. That's what he's trying to say, I believe. Some Rabba Barchana Lididi Chazili Karen Ofel. I saw this rock. The Kam Hahu Taya Kirach of Gamla Venaki Romchabiyade. And there was a particular Arab merchant going by. And he was riding on a donkey, on a camel rather. And he was holding a large spear in his hand. Mishaze Inivi. And he looked so small, like a worm, because of the height of this mountain. So that's pretty high up. It's a lot of rain for you to stop raining.
It's like
yeah, like the Mabul, yeah.
Only then you just ask to stop.
Right.
When everybody's...
When the place is gone. Now it's enough. Right, let's try to get to the next page. We still have some time. Tanur Abanon. Nesati gishmechem b'itam. The Pasuk says that I'm going to give rain in the proper time. Lo shikora. Like shikor. Not too much. Like a drunk. Not too much. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's some premium here. I don't know what it is. I'm sure there's a little something deeper.
Destroy the earth, then stop.
What?
Destroy the earth again, then stop. It's bracha. I'm sure in the premium is bracha. It's a tahara.
Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says again, Nasati gishmechem b'itam. So Pasuk says I'm going to give rain in the proper time. What do you mean bi'itam? Lo shikora, I'm not going to give too much, like a shikor, not too much rain. Velo tsumea, not too little. Ela beinun is just a proper amount of time, proper amount of rain. Shikolzman, shikoshamim merubim, mitashin sa'aretz, veinu motzia peros. If it rains too much, it oversaturates the ground, it's not going to produce too much rain. That's what it means bi'itam, the proper time, the proper amount. Dover acher, alternatively, was bi'itam mean? Bilele revios. On the nights, on Tuesday nights, which is going into Wednesday, Ubilele Shabbosos, and Friday nights, Shekein Matzino B'mei Shimon Ben Shetach, during his times, Shiyardu Lehem G'shamim Rak B'lele Revios, Ubilele Shabbosos, only on these days, Tuesday nights and Shabbos, Achinasu Chitim Kechlal Chalios, until the wheat became, what,
so
like,
big.
so large, Usorim Kigarini Zaysim, they became the size of olives, Vadashim Kidine Zahav, the Tsaru Behem, Dugmaladoris, and they tied them and saved them, preserved them for generations. Leodia kama hachet gorim, how much the sin causes. Meaning, if the sin is aren't, if you don't sin, look how big it get to. Since nowadays they're so small, our wheat and barley so small, must be because of the chet. Shnemar avonoseichem hitu ela v'chatoseichem manu hatov michem. Their sins that's caused this too much good from coming. Kain matzinu b'mei hordus. We found the same thing in times of hordus. Shayu oskim b'vinyan beis hamikdash. You're building the beis hamikdash. V'hayu yordim g'sham b'layla. It only rained at nighttime. The machar, the next day, nashra haruach v'nispazu ha'avim. The clouds left. V'zar chachama. The sun shone. V'yatzu ha'am l'mlach. And went back to work to continue the building of the beis hamikdash. Yadu shemlach ha'shamayim b'yadim. They realized that it was the right thing that they're doing, building the beis hamikdash. So what was b'itam mean? B'itam means the right time. It's supposed to rain at nighttime. When you're not going outside at nighttime, then it's supposed to rain. In the daytime, when you're going to your work, it doesn't rain. That's what bi'itam is supposed to mean.